John chapter 19, and we'll begin reading in verse number 25. John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon the hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that a scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Well, since we covered the turning over of his mother to the disciple John, and John taking Mary to his own home from that hour, then we realize that after he took her to his home, he must have returned, for then he becomes an eyewitness to what transpires afterward. And that brings us to verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And so that's where we want to begin for this morning. He saith, I thirst. But before he says, I thirst, he knows that all things were now accomplished. And so, naturally, the question that arises is, what things is he speaking of here? What is it that he is saying is accomplished? Is it just his crucifixion, or is there a lot more to it than just that? Well, of course, there's a lot more to it than just that. And so, it's interesting that we could turn to John chapter 17, and I think we should at this point, and search for what Jesus is referring to. What is it that is accomplished at this point on the cross? So John chapter 17, then, beginning in verse number 1, we're going to do a little bit of reading, but understand that what we're reading here is what is accomplished. So John 17, beginning in verse number 1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. And of course, it's being accomplished from what we just read in John chapter 19. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What is accomplished? Yes, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. But there's more. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He's speaking prophetically here, but it's just hours until he actually accomplishes this on the cross. And he is able to say that he knows that all things are accomplished. And verse number 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished. Verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. What was accomplished? Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I gave them thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Something else that has been accomplished. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil, or the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Accomplished. The greater accomplishment will come on the day of Pentecost. Verse number 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Accomplished. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I am them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Also accomplished. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is what he is accomplishing on the cross of Calvary. Now, these things will reach their full fruition on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples finally understand, because they're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that understanding comes unto them, and they'll look back and remember what John remembers here, that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, all things are accomplished. So back to our reading for this morning. Verse number 28. After this, after what? After that, the Lord turns his mother over to John for keeping. John takes her to his home, but he returns because his eyewitness account now continues. And so in verse number 28, he said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. We notice that's a constant theme in both Matthew and John, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This seems like a small detail, but it's not a small detail at all. It's part of the gospel narrative, and I think we should probably be looking into this. I thirst. Well, let's first of all place it chronologically, because John doesn't lay out a chronology for us, but Matthew does. And so if we go to Matthew chapter 27, we'll learn some things about the timing of this scene. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse number 45. Matthew 27 and verse number 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood by there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. So we find the timing here. John does not relate this business of the darkness being over the land because he's looking at the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Matthew is writing a historical account for the Jewish people. And so we find this deep darkness that has enveloped the land, and immediately as the darkness begins to subside, the Lord Jesus is heard to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which of course we find that the psalmist also records prophetically in the Old Testament. And so, verse number 47, we see some of them that stood there when they heard that, saith, this man calleth for Elias or Elijah. They misunderstood what the Lord Jesus had said, the Eli, Eli. They thought he was calling for Elijah. Why has Elijah forsaken me? And so, in verse number 48, straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Well, that's interesting. They give him vinegar to drink. But the rest in verse 49 say, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And so they're still mocking. They're mocking the Lord Jesus as he's on the cross. But now we find the point where he says, I thirst. And it's after the forsaking. And as the light begins to return after the ninth hour, then Jesus says, I thirst. So now we have a chronology here so we can set this at just what point in the crucifixion that this took place. And so, that the scripture might be fulfilled again is in John's account, let's take a look at that. And we read that not very long ago, but I think we should look at it again this morning, and that's in Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and we'll read in verse number 14 and following. Psalm 22. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels, which we're going to see when the soldier thrusts in the spear. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, if you read the heading to this, you see that this is a psalm of David, and David cannot be speaking of himself because David was never crucified, his hands and feet were never pierced, and so it's obvious that he's speaking prophetically here. And what does he say? In verse number 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. The intense thirst that the Lord experienced. And isn't it interesting that he took care of the spiritual thing first? It is finished. And it's only then that he cares for his thirst and says, I thirst. Well, it's interesting that Psalm 69 has something else to say about this very thing. So let's go and look at that, shall we? Again, this is a psalm of David, and he'll be speaking prophetically in verse number 17. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And if you look at the history of the nation of Israel after the crucifixion, after AD 70, certainly it was visited back upon their heads as they themselves cried out for, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And it has been for 2,000 years. But back to the thirst. Verse number 21 says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This is interesting. It's not talking about the wine that was mingled with myrrh that they tried to give him before the point that we're looking at this morning comes to pass. That was supposed to be an act of mercy, which they would do to dull the pain of the crucifixion. But we'll remember that Jesus refused that. He takes this vinegar, but he refuses that. So what is this gall? And a lot of commentators will say, well, this gall was that wine mingled with myrrh. No, it's not, because that word gall there means poison. The root word is poison, a toxin. They gave me gall for my food. And that's what they're doing. Look at the bitterness that's there. Let be. Let's see if Elijah will come and help him. So they gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, we might think that that's really a bad thing, but that vinegar, most commentators would say, and it's probably true because it's a well-known fact, that the Roman soldiers would drink vinegar, and what this is it's sour wine. It's wine vinegar that everybody that's had the stuff on their salad, they know what it tastes like because it was refreshing. And it was more pure than the water that was available there. So most commentators would say, well, the soldiers had that there for their own comfort. And it's one of the soldiers that actually holds the sponge up for the Lord. He has compassion. And it's not going to be very long but before the captain of the band that does the crucifixion is going to cry out, truly, this was the Son of God. And so we can see that these soldiers, they've been watching this the whole while, and they say, this is no ordinary person that's being crucified here. His demeanor is completely unlike anyone that they've ever seen before. And so it appears that they gave him this vinegar as a refreshment for him. And so rather than it being an act of vehemence and hate, it's rather an act of kindness. But isn't it interesting that even the small details, I thirst, they're brought out, and the scripture is fulfilled. David lived a very long time before the Lord Jesus was crucified, and yet when he speaks prophetically, we see that each of these things comes true in the life of the Lord Jesus. So back then to our text for this morning. John chapter 19, then, and verse number 29. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Well, it's interesting here that Jesus did receive the vinegar, this act of kindness. And after he receives the vinegar, he says, it is finished. And as we looked at just a moment ago, when he said all things were accomplished, the question was, what would he mean by that? And we saw that in the book of John, it was very carefully laid out what was finished. But now we come back to that same theme again, and we should ask ourselves, when Jesus says it is finished, well, what is finished? Well, it's the work of salvation. And it begins in Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 13. Let's just go there and quickly look at that. This is where it all starts. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and upon every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the devil's seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou the woman's seed shall bruise his heel. And so we find here this called the Protoevangelium, or the gospel that goes before, where when Eve is approached by the Lord and faced with what she has done, first of all, the Lord doesn't even hear the serpent. The serpent doesn't speak at all. He's not permitted to speak. And so it doesn't enter into the narrative. But Eve is permitted to speak. And what does she say? The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And that's true. She was deceived. Adam went into this with both eyes open, but Eve was deceived. And so now, because of that, the serpent, of course, is cursed. But more than that, in verse number 15, and I will put enmity or hatred between thee, Satan, and the woman, all women, and between thy seed and her seed. And notice that that's seed singular, not seeds. Seed singular. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the his here is not explained who this is, but we know that it's the seed of the woman. A singular descendant of this woman is to crush the head of the serpent. And so when the Lord Jesus says it is finished, this is one of the things that's finished. It's the first promise in the Bible that God is going to redeem man, that he's still interested in mankind. God could very well have been right and just to just leave them in the condition that they had brought themselves into, but he doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, he leaves the door ajar here. Now, of course, Adam and Eve have no idea what the scope of this is going to be, and the Bible is a progressive revelation. It starts to open this up from Genesis to Revelation. We see the progress of the work that is finished. So first of all, it's the work of salvation. Now, if we go back to our text for this morning and look a little bit closer into exactly what is finished, in verse number 30, we see when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Well, we might just focus in on the Lord Jesus here and think he's speaking only of what it is that he's doing himself at this point in time, but it would be instructive for us to understand that that's not the case at all. If we go to John chapter 17, interesting how much is in John chapter 17, isn't it? The high priestly prayer. We shouldn't be too surprised. John chapter 17 and verse number 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So we find out that God the Father is involved here. And if we look in another place, we'll find out that it's God the Father that sent forth the Son. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God. And if we look at John chapter 17 and 16 and 15, we find out that the Lord Jesus now comforts the disciples by telling them that God the Father loves them too, and that they are free to pray directly to God the Father, to worship him. And of course, this comes as a great surprise to the Jews, because if they wanted any contact with God at all, they had to bring a sacrifice to the priest. The priest would then prepare the sacrifice and offer it on the altar, and they weren't even allowed to be in the presence of that process. And then, once a year, the blood of the sacrifice, by the high priest only, would be taken into the Holy of Holies. And so when the Jews would think of God, they'd think of someone that was hidden in the inner recesses of the tabernacle, or in the inner recess of the temple, unapproachable, only by the blood of a sacrifice and only in the hand of a priest. And so that was their conception of God. He's very far away, and he can't be approached by any individual person. Well, now that veil is taken away. That's finished. And we learn that it's finished because God himself sends forth the Son. And then in John 19 and verse number 30, in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, we see that it's Jesus once again in focus. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Well, we know that he is one of the operators here because he personally says, "It is finished," but he sent at the behest of the Father. So this plan of salvation that we looked at back in the book of Genesis, just that little glimmer of hope that was given to Adam and Eve, now we find out that it's the Father that initiates the plan of salvation, it's the Son that completes it, and then if you'll look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, Ephesians chapter 1, and verse number 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." So we find now that the Father sends forth the Son, he initiates the plan, it's the Son who comes forth in the process of time, dies on the cross to complete the plan so that it might be finished, but there's still something else. It's the Holy Spirit that actually seals and secures what the Father began, the Son accomplished, now the Spirit seals. And so that's a wonderful thing. That brings a whole lot more into this scene that we're looking at in verse number 30 of John chapter 19. Let's look at it again, shall we? "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.'" Well, what is finished? As we ask the question, what are these all things that he's talking about? Now, we need to look at what was finished. Well, maybe we should start by looking in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1. Let's do that. What is finished? Will the scriptures tell us? Oh, yes, they will. Hebrews chapter 10, then, beginning in verse number 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, 'Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure.' Then said I, 'Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God.' Above when he said, 'Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law.' Then said he, 'Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all.'" So what is finished? First of all, we find out that the law is finished. It has no more purpose. And if we look at this passage in the book of Hebrews, we might think that the law therefore had no value. But the law does have value. And that value is to show that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, our first parents learned that in the Garden of Eden, when the first animals were killed and their skins taken to form a covering for Adam and Eve, whom sin had made naked. And so, the law did have its purpose. It was a type. The type is, without the shedding of blood, there's no valid payment for sin. But in the shedding of the Lord's blood, then there is complete and utter satisfaction on the part of God because the price has been paid. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How? By the shedding of blood, the remission of sin, the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins. So what was finished here? Well, the law. It's accomplished its purpose. But now, the antitype comes along, what the law spoke of in the Old Testament, in that the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, is crucified for the sins of men. Verse number 4 tells us it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life. And so the sinless, only begotten Son of God actually becomes a man and dies on the cross of Calvary in our place, a satisfactory propitiation for our sins, which is why the scripture tells us that God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. The bill was paid, and God said that he accepted the payment. And so Hebrews then tells us that this is the case. The law now is put away because the one whom the law spoke of has now come and accomplished this purpose. So the law is finished. Let's go to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And if you would look at the heading, once again, this is a Psalm of David. Let's start reading in verse number 1, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor is such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So once again, we see, lo, I come in the volume of the book. This is where the book of Hebrews pulls that quote from. And what has been said here? What has been done away with? What is finished? Well, what is it? We haven't been very interactive this morning, so I thought this would be a good opportunity.
A need for sacrificing.
Yes, absolutely.
God is the perfect.
Jesus was the perfect sinless sacrifice. Yes, absolutely. And David here, now speaking prophetically, brings that up and brings that forth to us. Well, our time is gone for this morning, but had we had a few more minutes, we'd talk about, well, how did that work? And so we'll have to leave that for next time. When the Lord said, it is finished, what was finished? Well, some of the finished product is here this morning, and it would be a wonderful thing to see how he brings that about. But for now, let's pray.